This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Friday morning. We made it to Friday and nice and brisk outside this morning, and it's going to warm up nicely. And looks like we are in for one kind of gorgeous weekend. Kim, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't see you down there. It's so dark. Why is it so dark in the studio this morning?
It is just not me? Dark, Mark. What are we doing here?
Much
with the
better there.
No, Mark,
Ethan,
if you
thank
want
you.
The lights on in the studio, I think we should have that light pointed directly on your face.
I have a young mind and old eyes. I just have to tell you that I have to be able to read what is on my screen here, telling me what segment we have coming up next. How am I going to do that if there's no light?
Well, maybe I'll get you a personal light.
Yeah, she wants me to have a personal light. Anyway, we're going to talk lots about what happened yesterday with the UK deal, the fact that there is for the first time an American Pope, and I put out a picture of him yesterday on Facebook. I congratulated my Catholics who listen in the audience and people who listen to the show are Catholic. Congratulations, you have a new Pope. He's an American Pope. And the first comment I got on it was, well, he's not really an American Pope. And I'm like, what did I miss? Well, he's mostly lived in Peru. Well, come on. You know, we'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I know that he's apparently some sort of clone of Pope Francis in his views, apparently. That's kind of why he was put in that position. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that, but he was born on the south side of Chicago, mm-hmm. and maybe not the baddest part of town where Leroy Brown grew up, but he did grow up on the south side of Chicago, and he went to Villanova and got a mathematics mm-hmm. degree, lived in St. Louis for about a year, apparently,
yep. in South and, City,
and studied.
Served a parish there.
Before he moved off to South America. Speaks like 5 languages. And it's funny, I was listening to him this morning, and the bite they had was translated. Like, he was speaking in, I would assume, Italian, and they had to translate it for the Fox News reporter. When he speaks, I listened to an interview with him, he speaks English as well as any of us. I mean, he grew up here. So he is an American Pope. Whether you consider him a North American Pope or a South American Pope, he's from the Americas, and mm-hmm. he grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I don't even know why somebody wants to try to make that argument. You can have disagreements with his point of view, just like we did with Francis on several things. But, you know, that's something the church is going to have to work out. And he's young enough that if he lives till 88, he'll be Pope for the next 20 years, mm-hmm. right? So
his brother said that he was a White Sox fan growing up on the south side of Chicago, but that his dad was a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
One of my favorite memes yesterday before we knew that was, can you believe Cardinals selected a Cubs fan as Pope?
That's good.
Yeah. And then we found out he's a White Sox fan. So I don't know. Neither here nor there. But that was the big news yesterday. Quite a shock. I would personally much rather have seen Cardinal Burke get that job, but we don't get a vote.
Well, we knew that would not likely happen.
No, because he's the most conservative, one of the more conservative of the Cardinals. Cardinal Dolan, I still want to call him Archbishop, Cardinal Dolan would have been a fantastic choice. When they first announced it was an American, I'm like, maybe, like I was briefly hopeful. And then they announced somebody that I'd never heard of before.
I'd never heard of him either.
I don't know. He's been out of the country for a long time. So we will we'll see where that goes. We'll cover. Did you see Joe Biden yesterday on
The View?
On The View.
Him and Jill. Jill, it was funny because Joe was trying to talk and you could tell he was searching for words. So that was kind of Jill's cue of, let me just tell you what he was trying to say here.
Let me explain to you.
Let me help you out.
Let me explain to you how hard this job is, because there's no way you could ever understand it, only being a talk show person. That was kind of her attitude yesterday. I'm just shocked they're doing it.
Why are they so adamant about still going out and defending themselves? I get it. It would be really hard to hear all this pushback and feel like you just have to sit there and take it and you'd want to get out there and defend yourselves. But if I'm being honest, you're doing potentially more damage by going out there, because it's still obvious to anyone with a brain that the guy is not clearly with it and was not qualified to be serving as president of the United States.
They would have been, maybe they didn't want their last image of Joe Biden to be the fallout from that debate, and they still think there's room to adjust that. And I think that ship has passed, but try to tell that to the woman who committed elderly abuse by maintaining her husband in that presidential role much longer than she should have, to the point of elder abuse. And quite frankly, if you're a Democrat, to the detriment of your party. If she had acknowledged what was going on sooner and encouraged him to step away 3 years into his presidency, we might be dealing with a President Kamala Harris right now. It's possible. I'm not saying she would have gotten elected, but if she ran as the incumbent, where she had already done the job, then she could have been judged on that, her record for a year, and who knows what would have happened. But all of that rests on Joe Biden's shoulders. There's no doubt about that after watching what happened yesterday. All right, so we're going to talk again next hour. We'll talk a little bit more about the trade deal we made with the UK. That was a big deal yesterday on the heels of Jen Circleback Psaki announcing the president hasn't accomplished anything on trade. And then the very next morning, he announces the UK deal. It was really bad timing on her part. We got JJ Carafano just a little bit later. We're going to talk about a federal judge that once again they've overstepped their bounds and stepped in to stop something that President Trump was doing in terms of handing out grants. And a little bit later, we'll continue to talk more about the Pope and the reaction to the first American Pope. Right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Prevost is one of the ones closest to Francis ideologically. He's also had tremendous experience in Latin America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And so he's one of the ones on the short list.
You know, they call you a conspiracy theorist until you're right. I don't know that there's anybody in America that fits that description better than Steve Bannon, who was written off by so many people until it was proved that he was right on so many issues. That's what he said last week about who the next pope would be, and he was absolutely right.
I wasn't surprised, not because I didn't think the vice president was the most qualified person to be president. She is. She's qualified to be president of the United States of America. But I was surprised. I wasn't surprised because they went the route of the sexist route.
Did you know that? She didn't lose because she was incompetent. She lost because you're sexist or racist. He added that at the very end.
Judge Jeanine Pirro, my friend and co-host from The Five, is going to become the new interim U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia.
How about that? Judge Jeanine going to be taking over after they unceremoniously dumped Ed Martin to be the U.S. attorney there in D.C. Now she's got to get through a Senate confirmation hearing.
I just want to begin by saying that this is a very special day because it's Victory Day, World War II, May 8th. We have the Prime Minister on the phone, and we were great allies in that. And it's very unusual that the trade deal comes due, and we signed it up on the same day that we had a great victory, the greatest victory of them all.
Yeah, how about that? Announcing that yesterday with England, the billions of dollars that are going to be spent. It's already been announced on new Boeing airplanes by the United Kingdom. We're going to adjust tariffs. These are what trade negotiations are supposed to be about. Why haven't we been doing this for the last 50 years? Is that not the question of the day? Why did we ever allow ourselves to get into this situation? Because you had people who wanted to go along to get along with these foreign leaders, and they let themselves be taken advantage of. From George H.W. Bush all the way down to Barack Obama and Joe Biden. They allowed that to happen. I wish Trump could have gotten around to this in his first term, but quite honestly, with the headwinds he had blown against him then, there's no way he could have done that.
Well, there's probably no way he would have done it. You're right. There was a lot more pushback his first term. But on top of that, he was at the time hoping to run again. So I think there's something different about this where he doesn't have to worry about that at all. So there's a little bit more freedom to do some of these things that will be more controversial.
It's a good point. It's a good point. I think I said this to somebody last night, in fact, at my daughter's school. Who asked about my thoughts on the tariffs. And that was part of my answer. I'm like, I think the fact that he is a lame duck has allowed him to go out and do something that no politician with survival instincts has ever been willing to do before, because they knew there would be a rough patch. And the president said yesterday, and I've said this all along, when these next few trade deals, did you see what happened to the market yesterday? When these next few trade deals start to fall into place, I hope you didn't sell your stuff before, but if you did and panicked, you better buy it back pretty quickly, because this thing's about to take off like a rocket ship. That's what's going to happen. And the president pointed it out again yesterday, and it's going to all blow up just in time for the midterms. I mean, as in the economy's going to explode just in time for the midterms, and the Democrats, it's their worst possible scenario. Is being set up right now. All right, quick break here, and it is a Friday. So, Ethan, who's bringing us today's national anthem?
We're going to go with Naval Petty Officer First Class Gerald Wilson.
Met a man wearing a T-shirt, said Virginia is for lovers, had a Bible in his left hand and a bottle in the other.
I think St. Louis needs to have a conversation with itself of why it no longer trusts black women to lead.
Yeah, that's it. Did you hear Mayor Tashara Jones is on the recovery trail after her devastating loss to Kara Spencer? So, of course, she wanted to go into friendly territory to have somebody ask her questions yesterday. Where do you think she'd go for that, Kim? Just
well,
out of
the
interest.
Post-Dispatch is the obvious.
No, she didn't go to the Post-Dispatch. She went to St. Louis Public Radio.
Oh, might even be friendlier.
She wanted friendly territory where they were lamenting how beautiful things were in 2020 when it was Cori Bush and Mayor Jones and the power of black women, and they stood down here on the arch grounds, and that was the height of black female power, and yet here we are. 5 short years later, and all of those people are out of power. Kim Gardner, gone. Mm-hmm. Cori Bush, gone. Darlene Green, gone. Tashara Jones, gone. Now, there were various reasons for all of those. Kim Gardner was forced to resign or face prosecution. That was one of them. Let's face that. Cori Bush just embarrassed herself on the national scene and got smoked. Even the local Democrats didn't like her. She got nothing done. Zero. Let's just admit that. Darlene Green got a little too comfortable in her position. There were rumors she only worked 2 or 3 days a week, wasn't ever in the office. She'd been there for 30 years, and somebody snuck up and sniped her. So she got knocked off, and mostly they got knocked off by people, except in the case of Kim Gardner, who were not people of color. So all of those black women have been replaced. What do you think Tashara Jones' explanation could possibly be for all of that happening? I don't know. If I just had to guess, I'd have to think she's going to blame race. What do you think?
That's the obvious.
Oh, my goodness. Listen.
I think St. Louis needs to have a conversation with itself of why it no longer trusts black women to lead. And I can't answer that for them. But there is, I would say, an unhealthy and unrealistic level of expectations when it comes to black female leadership, not only in St. Louis, but, when we look across the country. My dad always told me, and then, it's an old phrase that black women have to work twice as hard just to get half as much. Well, I feel like we work 5 times as hard to get nothing in return. That's a serious conversation that I think that not only we need to have locally, but nationally as well.
What is it do you think you deserved in return? Re-election?
Yes.
I mean, is that it?
Yes.
Just because of the color of your skin and you think you worked 5 times as hard, what if that's why you got elected in the first place? What's your excuse then? What if you got elected in the first place as the first black female mayor of St. Louis because you were a black female? But then your record and your handling of that job did not deserve re-election in the eyes of the voters. What has that got to do with the color of your skin? You can't have it both ways, would be my argument.
Yeah, I think it's just sad when people want to play the victim card like Tashara Jones is doing. And it's funny, when I first mentioned the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I forgot that they actually endorsed Kara Spencer.
They did, yeah,
which
indeed.
I thought was very surprising that they did that, because they were very loyal to Tashara Jones, it seemed like. Didn't they endorse her initially they were supporters of her. But again, her record was not great. And I really do think the nail in the coffin for her was the handling of the snow that we had.
That didn't
I think
help.
It was already going downhill.
Yes.
I think she would have already had a tough time getting reelected. Kara Spencer was gaining momentum. But then the snowstorm and her lack of, it wasn't even just the way she handled it. It was the fact that she didn't take ownership of it after the fact. It's one thing to just be terrible at your job. It's another thing to be terrible at your job. And when someone questions you about it, you can't take any personal responsibility and say, look, we messed up. I should have done better. I'm going to be on top of things.
It's also her lack of awareness of people's perception that it was her father, the convicted felon Vervis Jones, who fought for years to get his daughter elected to this position and who in many ways was influencing policies from behind the scenes. And he's the person she brings up as an example of the fact that she must have lost because she's a black woman. So really, when you think about it, it all makes perfect sense if she's still that committed to what her dad taught her all those years. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Nailing it. Mark Cox. Kim on a Whim.
Mark, what kind of fears do you have? Like fear of heights, fear of, I don't even know, fear of vegetables,
snakes.
Fear of green bell peppers, maybe?
I have a fear of that. Somebody like having to make me do a blind taste test and it be filled with red peppers or green peppers.
Biggest fear ever?
No. No, you know what? I have a little bit of, I've developed this as I've gotten older. I have a little bit of fear of heights, just a little.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's just weird, but like if I'm in a really high place and I look over the edge, I feel this tingle go down my back. So that's all I can attribute it to.
Don't we all kind of feel that? It's sort of the adrenaline rush. I think when someone has a almost like a crippling fear of heights, then they won't even go up in that building. When I went skydiving, I had that feeling too, but it wasn't scary enough where I wouldn't do it.
I never thought, maybe it's a survival instinct, I never thought that I had that problem. And then as a stupid college student who might or might not have had too much to drink one night, we decided to climb a water tower. And
sounds like a great idea.
Near the top, the ladder actually came out to get to the rail, and suddenly you're not hooked onto it and you're having to... I mean, I kind of panicked a little bit. I'll just tell you, that was the first time I realized that I had a little bit of fear of heights. But that was maybe just stupidity. Maybe I have a fear of stupid things.
Maybe. I won't specifically comment on that. I didn't realize this, but apparently humans are born with, they say, 2 in 8 fears. Can you guess what they say people are born with?
Dying, fear of death. Or public speaking, one of the two.
That the babies are scared of public speaking?
Could be.
Fear of falling and the fear of loud noises.
Okay.
But so many of us are scared of things like snakes. So they did this really weird and interesting study with babies. Like I'm talking under a year old. And they had these babies sitting in this room and they...
Turned snakes loose? What are they thinking about?
They turned snakes loose, non-venomous. They supposedly say these snakes are trained and that they're used to being around humans. Still freaks me out because these are not just like a typical snake you would find in your garden. I mean, these were larger snakes. And it was really interesting how this whole thing played out. It aired on the BBC. Listen to part of this study.
Is this okay?
That's the mom.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
I mean, they're grabbing the snake's heads. The babies
aren't that concerned at all, which is concerning me.
I know. It's unbelievable to see, isn't it?
Our infants aren't fussed about the snakes at all. They're far more interested in their toys. In fact, psychologists believe that along with heights, there's only one other fear that appears this early in our development. The fear of loud noises. All of the others, including the fear of snakes, are learned later.
I wonder how the parents feel watching this.
This is set up to be very safe.
Okay.
These are trained snakes that are used to being with humans.
They're non-venomous.
Sorry.
Once you've learned to fear them, it's an awful feeling.
But we start out like this.
But we start out like this.
Not fearing at all, touching it on the face.
Yeah, just no fear.
Grabbing the snakes' heads, these little babies, and the parents, as you heard that mom freaking out, she's watching her little, I guess it was an 11-month-old, grab the snake, and the snake's not fazed, the baby's not fazed. So they're saying that these particular fears are learned behaviors, that they're influenced by our reaction. When they see us freaking out to a snake or freaking out at heights, then they realize, oh, well, then I should probably be scared of that as well.
I think that's the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm just envisioning what this must have looked like. Who agreed to let their kid do that, number one, would be my first question. And number two, there's a reason you need to have a fear of snakes. So if it's a learned phobia, it's a good one. Because you have, even if there are the garter snake in your yard is not dangerous to you and poses no risk in any way, there certainly are copperheads and other snakes that do. And you need to learn the difference because back 1,000 years ago, people had to know the difference. It was a life or death situation.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the point here. They're saying it's dumb for you to be scared of snakes because as a baby, you're not scared of snakes.
They're not telling you shouldn't be scared of snakes. They're just saying that
it's
a learned behavior, that you're not born with it. I think a lot of us assume that we're born with these certain fears, and they're just basically negating that. There was a University of Virginia study that found that 11-month-old babies showed increased attention to images of snakes only when paired with fearful voices, indicating that emotional context, they say, plays a significant role in fear development.
Sure. Well, no, I would agree with that. There's certainly young children have no discrimination over skin color. They don't care.
Right.
That's something that's learned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it explains why Democrats hate the color orange. I mean, this is there's just living proof of this everywhere.
It's true. For example, like my nephew, my brother-in-law kind of grew up, you know, he had not a salamander. What did he have? A gecko, I think it was, or something like that. I would never have a...
Did it talk with an Australian accent?
It really should have. Oh. I know. That would have been way cuter. I had a hermit crab, which was really weird. But anyway, he had those kinds of pets. And my nephew, his son, has no fear of anything. I mean, he will pick up any bug and, you know, put it on his hand and let it crawl on him. And I cannot imagine doing that. You know what I mean? Like the cicadas were awful for me. I could not handle when they would fly into my head. I would flip out. And so but like no one told me to be scared of a cicada. It's just they're disgusting. And so I'm therefore scared of them. It is interesting to think about these fears we have, because some people have very irrational fears. I would call them irrational.
Of people who are orange.
Of people who are orange and were named Donald with the last name Trump. But a fear of snakes is a very reasonable fear. And like you said, some people should be scared of these things.
Absolutely.
In fact, some people probably need more of a fear of some of these things because they don't have any fear and therefore they'll do these ridiculous things and then they get killed.
Look at my kid. He let somebody in a foreign country wrap a rubber cord around his ankles and he jumped off a bridge.
Oh, I would do that.
Like, he needs to have a greater sense of self-preservation than to do something dumb like that. Those are things that I thought I taught him, but clearly I didn't teach him well enough.
You wouldn't do that?
No, not now. I certainly wouldn't do that. Maybe when I was young and stupid, I would have. I'm not saying he's stupid. Maybe, Brad, are you listening? No, he's not. But maybe when I was young and, you know, less concerned about my well-being, I might have done that.
Going back to the snake thing, it says approximately 1/3 of adults experience some level of fear of snakes. That's it? 1/3? I would think it'd be way higher than that.
It's got to be higher. I'm with Indiana Jones. I hate snakes. I don't like. I did live shot one time. I will never forget. I was working in TV in Dayton, Ohio, and they sent us out to some, I forget what it was. They were doing something at a school, and they had a big yellow boa constrictor, and they wanted to hang it around my neck for a live shot or a stand-up or something, and I just about couldn't get through it. I just about couldn't get through it. And I knew, obviously, I was at no imminent risk because the handlers were right there, but still, it just icks me out.
All these fears, like fear of cops. That's been a big one lately.
Yeah.
People, you know, freaking out about that. And
that's learned. That's certainly learned behavior.
Because, I mean, we all have that. Again, it goes back to this whole notion of, I think there's a healthy level of fear that we should all experience. Like, I have a fear of being pulled over. So it deters me from going too fast. I might push it a little bit, but I know there is a limit. It deters me from wanting to break the law because I'm scared of going to jail. You know what I mean? So I think you should have some level of fear. Right.
Yeah,
but it's not like if a cop pulls me over that I'm going to be, you know, having a complete mental breakdown and shaking violently because I'm so petrified of it. I'm not so scared of cops. I can't talk to one.
No.
I'm not even scared of cops. If anything,
baby,
I think that they help me.
That same baby would crawl off the edge of a roof if you didn't stop them because they don't know not to.
Right.
So you have to teach some caution. You have to.
Exactly. And that's parents actually don't teach their kids that they should be more cautious. So you get both ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, there's a line there. You know what somebody pointed out to me the other day, and I don't know, Ethan, if you'll agree with this or not, cuz we're closer in age than Kim, but it used to be so common when I was young to go to school and see a kid in a cast. Like, we used to jump bikes over ramps and we'd be gone all hours of the day and you'd end up with a broken arm or a broken wrist or a, you know, some day, and you just don't see that as much these days. It happens some in athletic events, but kids, we wrap our kids in bubble wrap and they just don't experience a lot of that stuff.
At least
these days.
Once a year there'd be a cast.
Oh yeah,
At
exactly.
Least.
And then everybody got to sign it and that was really cool. And
got to use the elevator.
Just don't see it as much.
No, it's probably true. I mean, yeah. Even yesterday when Easton was out playing with Bubbles, he ate it and, you know, busted up his lip and busted up both of his knees. And me as his mom, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is so sad, you know. But I also want to, you know, have him be tough and say, okay, you're fine.
That's right.
You know?
Suck it
because
up.
Then
is that
he
what
just
you said
took
to
off
him?
Again. I did. Yeah, suck it up. I don't feel bad for you.
Suck it
you're
up.
Being
rub
a baby.
Some dirt in that. It'll
Easton,
be fine.
Get up. Right. Stop being dramatic. I said all those things. I really wanted to encourage him.
You didn't just like paint it with some of that orange stuff that stung like your leg was about to fall off. That
what was it?
My mom used to put on there.
Oh.
Was it iodine?
Yeah. It was the worst.
Oh, good. Good thoughts. Yeah. All right. We'll be back. Coming up, we're going to talk to Breon Wells about this trade deal. And he's got a lot of business experience looking at this. He's been a congressional aide as well, dealing with national security and public policy. And he's co-chair of the Trade and Policy Committee for the British American Business Association. That fascinates me because here we have a deal with the British over trade. So I want to kind of pick his brain on why this is such a good thing for both countries coming up at about 6:20 this morning. We'll be right back.
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
I heard Susan Thomas call me out on this earlier, so I'm just going to give you another little heads up. There are going to be some major construction problems on 6440 there at the Boone Bridge where it crosses into St. Charles County. I'm just warning you now. There were delays last night, and it hasn't even started yet because they're realigning those big dividers, those big concrete dividers, so they can start taking two lanes of westbound traffic onto the eastbound bridge starting tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's going to go, I don't know how long it's going to last, but they're repainting the part of the bridge, so at some point they're going to have to shift those lanes the other way so they can paint the other side of the bridge. And Crimea River, says Sue Thomas, right?
That's exactly right.
Because you've been dealing with 55 for a long time. But the
years.
The reason I bring that up is because I got this alert yesterday from MoDOT, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this. It says, if you are going to the Lake of the Ozarks anytime soon, especially for the Memorial Day weekend, You need to understand that State U.S. Route 54 in Jeff City, they're going to have that bridge down to one lane in each direction. And you should plan now to take an alternate route, which as far as I'm concerned, won't include Interstate 70. Like if you're coming from St. Louis to the Lake of the Ozarks, it's easy to hop on 70, go to Kingdom City, and go south on 54. That could be a nightmare when all that traffic starts trying to get down there for Memorial Day. So they're recommending you maybe consider going south, which would be down I-44. Or I think there's like 50 or whatever that goes through Union that would
50
be
goes through Union.
42, it says here. 42, you can cut off through Union and take 42, and it will eventually get you down to an area near the Lake of the Ozarks. But you're definitely going to want to think about that if a lake trip is in your plans.
It's not going to be great.
It's not going to be great. But I just wanted to warn people who are listening because I had not seen that before. I sent that to my son yesterday because he's planning to go to the lake for Memorial Day weekend. And I'm like, you might as well just plan now to go down 44 and come up through Camden.
Don't a lot of apps, though, I don't use Waze, but don't apps like Waze tell you now when there's some sort of a big ongoing construction project and they'll reroute you
it should,
ahead of time?
It should, but here's the problem. If you're already on I-70 headed ding, ding, west, ding. When Waze tells you, you suddenly look at your Waze app and you realize it's got you going 60 or 70 miles out of your way. There's hardly any other way around this. Once you got to go way past Jeff City, maybe over to Columbia, and then cut down a back way if you intend on going that way. So it's out of your way.
It means you just have to plot in advance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And before you leave, put that in and see. And then the problem is, all right, let's say you leave. Okay, we're going to leave at 7. And then by the time more people have had, once you get closer, more people may have descended, and that could turn out to be the wrong way because everybody's there. You see what I mean? It's really tricky.
It's going to be tricky. So I just thought it'd be a good idea on a Friday to bring this up for people that might be going
sometimes,
to the lake.
Sometimes, like I said, I don't use Waze, but sometimes on my Maps app, I'll see that it's trying to get me to take an alternate route, and this is an area where I'm familiar, and I'm thinking, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm just going to take this route that I know. And then as soon as I get there, I'm like, oh my gosh, all right, I realize why they were trying to reroute me. My mistake. Yeah. And then you're stuck in stop-and-go traffic for 45 minutes.
And the reason I bring this up is that construction on the bridge on 55 or 54 has already started, right? It started on I believe, May 5th. So it's not like if you're going this weekend, you need to understand that there's going to be a problem down there.
Here's the other thing. I like to, you know, they are kind of, ooh, this is what's going to happen. I like to get through there myself and see what's going on. Just to
you're a pioneer,
you know,
sometimes.
Well, is that the place that people are all going to go? Are they all going to try the 44 route? You just want to figure that all out. But, it's hard to know in advance.
If you go down regularly, you know what your other options are.
Exactly.
But I would think if you can avoid 54. Now, if you live down there around the dam, that's the most convenient way to go. So you're going to have to go out of your way no matter what. All right, got to run. We'll be back in just a minute.